land to live righteously. Coming down in 3, 2, 1, it's time for another episode of the Cultural Holidays. Articles of news for the week of the 12th of December. We didn't do one last week, sorry, but at least for the unforeseeable future, we will have not only a numbered episode, but also articles of news for the remainder of the year.
Merry Christmas.
Because I actually got some time, so we'll do that.
How did you get time?
Something. So the girlfriend is going out of town this weekend.
Sweet.
So while the cat's away, the mice will play on the... podcast. That's what I'm going to be doing with my time. I got some last minute Christmas shopping I've got to do, and then when the Sunday rolls around, and normally I spend my Sundays with her, I'll spend my Sundays here in the Cultural Hall recording some episodes and getting ready for the coming weeks.
Aww.
It's Brother Kyle. Hello,
hey.
Sir. You're looking good.
Thanks.
Now I need to know, is it something that we can talk about on the air about the Holland Oats?
The Holland Oats thing?
The private eyes, yeah.
It's not Holland Oats.
No, it's Holland Oats.
And Oats.
No, it's Holland Oats. Oats from the country of Holland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could talk about it.
Okay, tell me, because I started singing Private Eyes. My private eyes are watching you.
And it gave me, it put a, my stomach drop.
An instant funk to you. What's the deal?
Yeah. Well, at work, we have a set amount of calls we are supposed to make and time spent on the phone with our customers.
Right, because you work in a phone-based industry.
Yes.
You know, and people can still order from you, right? We've been including that commercial in the episodes for people to...
They do email and phone. Yep, still time before Christmas.
Anyone done it? Not a one, huh?
Not
shame
yet.
On everyone listening.
Yeah.
Follow the instructions, and is it still possible to order in time for Christmas?
Absolutely it is.
Okay.
Free 2-day shipping, just like Amazon. You bet, and you don't have to pay for Prime.
Yeah.
All right.
Done.
So
Holland Oats.
So most of my work is done via email, because most of the people I'm working with are hiding a phone under their desk at a meeting at work, ordering some new snow pants, something like that.
Sure.
Most of the time.
I'm in this meeting, but I really need snow pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this is exactly how my day goes. You know, can't call you right now, but what price can you get on these new wheels? You know, and it's while they're busy at work.
Sure.
Everybody does it.
I may book all travel during my day job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's a time, we're looking at our times, a couple of us at work going, gosh, we're really on the phone like 5 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm.
Should be like an hour a day.
Okay.
So one of the guys found, hey, look, here's the Holland Oats hotline. It's called Colin Oats. It's 1-800-HOLLAND-OATS, I think, or 1-866. You call it, and then you get to pick between four songs.
Okay.
You know, Rich Girl, Private Eyes, anyway, and so that...
What I want, you got.
Yes.
It might be hard to handle.
It's making me sick. So, 4 or 5 times a day, we call that, and we listen to a song.
Uh-huh.
And evidently, everything that we do is tracked very closely.
Calls may
and
be
they're
monitored
going,
for...
my gosh, there's a large number of people on the bike team calling the same phone number for 4 minutes and 5 seconds every day.
Sure.
So we all got in a bit of hot water for the Colin Oates hotline.
Yeah. Guys, we need to get our numbers up. What do we know? Well, we can call Colin Oates. Is that really a thing?
It is. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Google it. You'll find the number and you get a pick. And it was nice. We'd all get to listen to a song a little bit.
Sure, and upbeat because it's Holland Oates.
Yeah. I really like Holland Oates.
For the longest time, I really did think it was Holland Oates.
Did you really?
I did. I had no idea. Because with the day job, they took a picture a long time ago that they say looked like the Holland Oates picture. And I was like, Holland Oates. Oh, it must be like a cereal that they don't make anymore. Or something like that. I didn't know what Hall and Oates.
Oh, that's sad. They're a great, for those of you that don't know, it's a rock band from early 80s.
Yeah.
Earlier 80s or mid 80s. And they're still around.
Maneater, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've heard their music. I know everybody has.
Is it Daryl Hall and John Oates?
Correct.
And one of them has a show on like VH1 or whatever, right? Like In the Garage with...
Daryl Hall's Front Room or something.
Yeah,
and he
something
has
like that.
Different, big name music acts come in and they jam.
Yeah. Had the Mormon Neon Trees in there. And
that,
them Mormon
that's right,
Imagine
he did.
Dragons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty
They're
cool
relevant.
Show.
I want a Hall & Oates right now so bad. Is it just a song?
Yeah, there's four to pick from. There's only four songs to pick from.
Okay, maybe I'll do that in the break. Maybe I'll record me calling and just getting a small little portion of the... yeah, I think I will do that. All right. What else is new with you besides getting in trouble at work?
The weather here in Utah is not delightful.
Yeah.
The fire's delightful. The weather outside is frightful. It's foggy and horrible, so I've started going away every weekend to southern Utah.
Oh, really?
It's considerably warmer and sunny down there.
Taking the kid?
This last time I didn't because he didn't want to go.
Okay.
So we're going to go this weekend. We just drive down Saturday morning, ride bikes.
Do you just go till the air clears and then you're like, here is perfect?
No, it's just, I just go to St. George because it's a town and there's lots of bike trails to ride.
And is it mainly, are you mainly doing road stuff or are you mainly doing mountain bike stuff?
You know, I sold my road bike about 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Okay.
And cashed out on that, and so I'm building a new one right now.
Okay.
Very excited about it.
Nice.
Arnardio Platinum.
Graphite.
Di2. Oh my gosh, yes.
Stuff. It's explosive, apparently. It's an explosive road bike. So that's old season's business. You'll buy a new one later.
Have a new one now and just got to get it built. So I'm doing mountain biking now.
With your kid.
Which is what my son likes to do anyway.
Right. Hardcore? Do you guys do the Moab stuff?
We've done a little bit of Moab before.
And he doesn't dig it? Or is it too hard for you?
Yeah. No, he likes it. I'm scared of it. I don't want to break a clavicle.
It's pretty intense stuff. I did it one time, like my senior year of high school. And we were so intense that we had a van. Drop us at the top of a mountain and then rode down.
Oh, yeah.
And it was still crazy intense.
You did the half enchilada.
I could not believe how scary it was.
Yeah.
Crossing through rivers and stuff. I could not believe how fast we went. And like some people, like they were done in like an hour and we took the whole day. And I had this bike that I got at a police auction.
Oh, my gosh.
It was a mountain bike.
Sure it was. Yeah.
But man, it was bad. It was so bad. Flat tire by the end. Still riding on it because I hadn't remembered to bring like a patch kit or anything like that. Just awful.
What a Fred.
And actually, one other thing that I remember about that bike. So my dad was notoriously cheap as a kid, right? He's not any better now, but I have money of my own.
So you buy a bike at the police auction.
Yeah. So I still buy a bike at the police auction. No. But so we go to this, and it is exactly what you think it is. It is an auction where all the items that a police officer has confiscated, they get put out there, right? And some of it's great stuff, and some of it's crap. Like another time I remember getting all these hood ornaments. Now, for kids who don't remember, car hoods used to have hood ornaments that you could break off if you were a punk kid. And I remember...
Mercedes was the big one.
Yeah, Mercedes was like the one you wanted, but the ones that you didn't want was what I got. Like the Oldsmobile Cutlass Sierra, the Buick, these lame hood ornaments. So I remember saving my own money and buying these box of hood ornaments one time. But my dad buys me this bike, and it's a mountain bike, and he's like, you know, this should be okay. My dad, not a particularly mechanically inclined person. We get this bike, and it's not in really great shape. And back then you had places like, where's the Giant Bicycle sold? Where was that? They were sold at...
Giant brand bicycles?
Yeah.
Well, they're sold a lot of places.
But there was a particular store back in the mid-90s that was like... That was the bike store that you would go to here in Salt Lake.
And, Bingham's Cyclery?
Maybe. Nah, yeah. It wasn't Bingham.
All right.
Anyway, so it was a place that we couldn't afford to get a bike from or to get a bike fixed at either because it'd be, you know, it was more than the bike cost to get it fixed at this place. And so this is now probably 20-plus years ago. We find in the phone book this place that fixes mountain bikes out in Draper. And this is before Draper is now what it is now. Draper is a suburb of Salt Lake, and it's essentially just like any of the other suburbs. But 20 years ago, it was farm.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
And it was old-timey farm, people who had gone south who, you know, didn't want to deal with the city, that kind of stuff. And I remember my sister, we load the bike into the back of the station wagon that she was allowed to drive when my mom didn't need it. And we take this bike out.
Now, how old were you at this time?
I'm probably 10.
Oh,
because my sister's probably 16 or 17. And we take it out to this farm out in Bluffdale, or in Draper, I'm sorry. And we meet this kid and we meet his dad and they're like, oh, we'll fix it. And it'll be, a week or so until you can come get it. And I'm like, that sucks. Okay, that's fine. So we drop it off. And then we come back, my sister and I, and this kid is just young and creepy. And he pulls my sister aside and he says, you know, I have to let you know that ever since I met you a week ago, my hormones have been carbonating.
Oh my gosh.
And she's like, we are out of here. Come on, let's go. So I've never forgotten that. My hormones were carbonated, but it was just such a crappy bike. It was like 35 pounds heavy. It's like made of lead. Someone mm-hmm. had taken, you know, old bullets and just melted it into a bike. And we're like, yeah, make that. There's a bike. It was so heavy, so heavy. But yeah, mountain biking in Moab. How did I get there? That's it for me. What's new with you?
That's how we got there, is biking away from town.
Any races? You still doing that? How are your eyeballs?
Done. Eyeballs still terrible.
Christmas miracles?
Sneak
Anything
up on
happen?
Me on the left. Come up on my left side. I'll never see you.
Yeah.
In fact, don't walk there because I'm going to bump into you. Christmas shopping is fun.
Yeah. With all the people around.
Oh, I went to a week ago. My son and I went to dinner and walked around the Crossroads Mall in CCMI a little bit.
Yeah?
And
how was that?
It was great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I haven't been to Crossroads for a while.
They've got that overhead walk now.
You mean over City Creek?
Oh, City Creek. They renamed. That's right. The one with the gym that I got fired from.
Mm-hmm.
But we talked about that.
Yeah.
Fired from another gym.
Sure.
I walked around the mall, and I at least three or four times ran into people.
Really?
On my left, yeah.
And do you say, pardon me, I'm blind on my left, or do you just go...
I say, oh, I'm so sorry, and they, you know, they're like, it's Christmas, so they're all right with it. Just a little bump.
If it were Thanksgiving, man.
No. Halloween?
Arbor Day, screw that guy.
Shiv to the belly, you bet. No, it's... But it's bad. I do it all the time. And people come up and stand on my left side all the time, like at work, waiting. And they're like, is he on the phone? Then I hear him and I look over. No, I'm not on the phone. I can't see you.
Yeah.
I'm standing right here, but you're on my blind side.
What do you mean? How does that work with driving? Not well, I would presume.
Well, luckily I've got all those mirrors.
Okay.
You know, you got the side views, you got the rear
view. Yeah, but you can't see the side view. It's on the side.
Well, I look.
Oh, you have to turn the whole head.
Or if I turn my eyes, if I divert them, if I look to the left, I can look at the mirror.
Okay.
The side view mirror.
Okay.
Which I have set up correctly. I have it set up Euro, not American.
Which is?
American, you know, they set their side view mirrors up to look behind them, down the side of the car. Like, they can look and see the rear door handle.
Right.
I set it to where it sees in my blind spot, to the side of me.
Oh, and that is Euro, because I do it so I can see the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what good is that? You've already got a rear view mirror inside the car.
That's a good point.
Uh-huh. So why do you need two more of them?
Europeans are so smart.
I know.
They walk everywhere.
I know.
They're not fat. That's a thing.
And they eat lots of croissants, but they're still skinny.
But they say things like, ha, 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 ha.
Hey.
I'm a European. Nein. They have all sorts of things.
My new bike is German.
Really?
You bet it is.
Yeah?
As well as my car. I love German stuff.
Do you?
Yeah.
They just make it better?
They do an awesome
Except
job.
For the Volkswagen diesel?
Well, no, that's a brilliant. You go to the auction, you try and buy a Volkswagen diesel, premium price.
Yeah.
Because people want those cars.
Yeah. But now you can't get them like they had them.
I know.
So, what are you doing for Christmas, real quick?
For Christmas, I'll be just here.
You have a kid?
My son. So ever since the divorce, my ex-wife still invites me over Christmas morning.
Is that nice?
My son, as soon as he wakes up, he calls me, you know, groggy and sleepy at 6:30.
Yeah.
Dad, I'm up. And then I come over. And so it's good, yeah.
And that's a cordial time?
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah?
It's, you know, now 8 years later, she has mellowed some.
Sure.
And she has to at times because, like last week, the battery died on her car.
Right.
And who's she going to call to help come?
You.
Yeah, me.
You know what I would not do? That. I don't have to have any sort of interaction with my ex-wife at all.
Yeah.
And I am so thankful for that.
That should be what Thanksgiving, when they go around the table, you say that's the thing that
what
you bring
you
up.
What are you thankful for? No contact. But you still do the contact.
I have to because we have a kid.
But you don't have to go help her with that stuff.
No, I don't. But it's an example to my son.
Okay.
Because he's there and she's like, oh, what am I going to do? And he's like, call Dad. He knows how to, you know, he's got jumper cables. He can.
Right.
So I drove 20 minutes. And then she finally decided, you know, my car, it's getting older. You know, the one that you bought me and I got free and clear.
Yeah.
It's a nice luxury car. Well, it's time for me to sell it and get a newer one.
And did you say, I'll go ahead and take that money from the old one because I bought you that thing?
Nope. I don't get that.
No.
Because it's hers and the title's in her name.
Ah. So
this sounds, I'm such a bitter old divorcee is what it sounds like right now.
I get there too.
So when she parks it next to the snowblower and Honda snowblower and you know, lawnmower, all the equipment that I bought that I didn't get.
Yeah.
So she's going to sell that one and wants a new one. So is having me, as I was at the auction yesterday, and she called me the other night and said, I need to get a new car. It's, you know, I need something more reliable. So now I'm looking for her for a new vehicle.
You gonna charge her a fee for finding?
I should, but no, I mean, I'll...
Okay. Old softy. So when are you and Mom getting back together?
Yeah, I know.
Your kid ever do that to you?
No.
I did that to my parents for years.
Did you really?
For years I did. They got divorced when I was 13, and I don't think it was until I was 36 that I gave up on that.
I think my son saw, you know, how uncomfortable it was when we were together in that last year.
Yeah.
And at times, you know, when he gets into it with her, and he explains to me what's going on, and I said... And I just say, I know, I understand, and he knows.
He's like, oh,
I
know. That's right.
And so...
How did you ever do it, Dad? I'm ready to divorce her myself, son. All right, well, we can take a break for a second. You want to take a break?
Yeah, what about you for Christmas? What do you got?
I don't know. So Christmas Eve is my girlfriend's mom's birthday, so if she wins. But it's funny to me because when I was married, I never got to pick Christmas. And so it's funny to me how stubborn I am about Christmas now. Like, what, you know, we sort of tried to talk about kind of our plans. And to me, I've just been like, well, you can do whatever you want, but I'm doing what I want to do. And I haven't really offered up a compromise or a plan, but I just, it's funny to me how sensitive it still is. There are a few things that are like that, but that is one that I'm just like, you know what? I will pick and do whatever I want.
Good for you. It's your turn.
Yeah.
Bet it is.
Yeah. It's my time.
That's
my turn.
That's right.
So I'll probably do what she wants to do.
I can't believe you've got a real serious girlfriend if you're planning Christmases together.
Well, you have to, right? I mean, I don't want to, like, some of my family is starting to get to be so weird. Like, I always have looked at families with, like, dysfunctionalities as kind of this, you know, like, that's weird. Why is my family not dysfunctional? And now my family's starting to become a little dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
And so it might be a little easier just hanging out with her.
Well, yeah, but you don't want to make them mad.
No, I mean, I'll see Mom. I'll see my little brother with my niece and nephew that I love, and one of my brothers is going to a cabin by himself with his dog for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Instead of spending Christmas
glorious.
With anyone. Yeah, no, that's what he says.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and he's right to some extent. But, I mean, isn't it a little weird? It's a little weird.
No, when I remember a couple weeks ago, I went to California by myself.
Yeah, but for a weekend, right?
Yeah, for like 4 days. Everybody, why? Why are you doing that?
He's going for 12 days with his dog over Christmas.
I wish I could. You know, don't knock it. Try it. Anybody out there, try it. And you'll go, yeah, this is the way to do it.
All right, I'll try it. we'll come back in the second half and do actual articles of news.
The Cultural Hall wants you to help Utah Food Bank fight hunger statewide. Through your donations of food, time, or money, Utah Food Bank is able to distribute over 31 million meals annually to Utahns facing hunger. Even a $1 donation can be turned into $7.35 of goods and services. 1 in 5 children in Utah could go to bed hungry tonight, and 423,000 Utahns are unsure where their next meal will come from. By donating food at your local pantry or by visiting utahfoodbank.org, you can make a difference.
Ho, ho, ho. This is Denta Claus from PC Laptops in Salt Lake City. Would you like to save huge, massive money this holiday season? Don't throw out that old computer. We can transform that old, slow, or broken desktop or laptop into fluffy, high-speed goodness. No matter what brand it is, just bring your desktop or laptop computer for a free diagnostic. The diagnostic is 100% free, and there's no obligation. We're so great at making computers faster that if we can't fix or upgrade your desktop or laptop, we'll buy it from you. That's right. If we can't make it faster, better, stronger, we'll write you a check for it. Have I lost my mind? Want to trade in your old computer? We have brand new lifetime warranty desktop computers from $799. And we'll take your old computer in on trade-in. So get in right now to any one of our 8 locations or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. At PC Laptops, we really love you.
Hey everyone, it's Brother Kyle from the Cultural Hall host panel here for Backcountry.com and CompetitiveCyclist.com. It's where I work, and what we do is sell awesome gear for anything that you do outdoors. We're actually located right in Utah, the outdoor sports capital of the world, and we carry gear for camping, skiing, running, fly fishing, biking, kayaking, surfing, all that stuff, and a lot more. Super cool active clothing, tons of great stuff for Christmas, like your winter gear, coats, gloves, boots, all by the top brands in the industry. I want you to go to Backcountry.com or CompetitiveCyclist.com for the bike stuff, and check us out. And then call me, 801-204-4699, or email kylebrown@backcountry.com, and I will hook you up with special deals. So much cool stuff, amazing deals from me. You'll swear it's a miracle.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
It's time for the second half of Articles of News, wherein we do actual articles of news. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose Articles of News.
And away we go. We have talked about this, I think, before they came out, but now to sort of visit them, I had the opportunity to go and to use one, the Light the World vending machines that they have on Temple Square, where you can buy a goat. Goat for a family.
Now, I honestly, when I first heard this, thought maybe you could get actual items out of it. It's not.
No.
Actual items.
No.
You buy them for somebody that's poor.
Yeah, they're racked up like they're candies, right? And you put your money in, or your card in most cases, and you can be like, I'm buying water for a village, a goat for a family, and all sorts of things.
How much is a goat, by the way?
$75. Not much,
that's,
right?
That's the usual going rate here.
Yeah.
Actually.
But I think it feeds a family for like a week or something ridiculous.
Whoa,
right?
They'd kill the goat?
Yeah, so that's what it is. So it, and there are various things, right? But what it essentially is you pick it, it does the little spinny thing in the machine, and then it drops in and it all gets donated.
What drops in, though?
Like a gift certificate.
Okay.
Right.
All right. When it says a goat, I thought maybe then they delivered to it, not from here, but gave a family an actual goat that they could milk and use on their farm.
Or if they wanted that way, right? But eventually it ends up being food.
Okay. All right.
Or it ends up being, you know, produce, or it ends up being water for a village, or it ends up being medication. Like, it's all sorts of cool stuff. When I was there, there were tons of people just lined up to do it.
Oh,
taking pictures, the whole
really?
Deal. Yeah. It's a great idea. Brilliant idea. And that's just part of the hashtag Light the World. It's not a campaign. It's a initiative. It's not a campaign.
Oh, I didn't know.
I'm not sure what the difference is.
No.
But it's not a campaign. It's an initiative.
Uh-huh.
Because we're initiating things. I think that's the thing.
We're taking initiative.
Yeah. We're taking initiative. That's the initiative. It's not a campaign. Initiative.
Uh-huh.
And you can find other things that we've done. You can use the hashtag Light the World. You can see stuff that we've done, stuff that other folks have done. If you're not participating in this, it's certainly a cool look to check out different concerts that they've done. I know Peter Breinholt, who we had in a couple of weeks ago, his concert. They did a YouTube Live one. Next week when we do Articles of News and we have Molly Jenny in here, she's going to talk all about it. She traveled to New York for the Light the World campaign and did some pretty awesome stuff. Yeah, it's a big deal. And just one of those things is those vending machines there on Temple Square. I think they're there through the first of the year, so if you're getting a chance, you're coming to Utah and you want to check it out, it's right there on Temple Square. Other things you can get, $25, they'll get you two chickens. You want two chickens? I'll get you two chickens.
Yeah.
$25. Here's one you might be interested in. $20 for an eye exam.
Really?
Yeah, you can get somebody's
eye
exam. Yeah. $5 for a pair of eyeglasses. Anyway, so it's a pretty cool thing.
Do they have there's bicycles also, on there?
What's that?
Do they have bicycles on there?
I don't know.
I know there's an organization that does that.
I'm sort of looking through it here. There's a personal first aid kit, school shoes, life-saving medicine. Let's see if I can highlight just a couple of the other ones. I don't know. But just to give you an idea of the scope, last year's Light the World online campaign had an amazing response of more than 85 million views, and they anticipate to break that this year.
Wow.
So, pretty cool deal. Hashtag Light the World and the vending machines on Temple Square. And it's sort of cool because it looks weird.
See, I'm going down, actually, this is true, just to see that.
Yeah,
I want to see the vending
machine. You really
machine.
Should, because it's odd. This, you know, sort of religious edifice, both in the Joseph Smith Memorial Building and Temple Square. And then, here's this big vending machine.
Uh-huh.
Like, there you go. That doesn't belong there. Put it right there, vending machine.
And when I heard, so after the first year, when they're taking out those items, and inside mm-hmm. will be miracles that you
yes.
can buy.
You can buy miracles. Mm-hmm. Thoughts and also prayers.
And some prayers.
So you can literally send thoughts
or
and
terrible.
Prayers to folks.
Terrible. It's
no,
free.
Look, your truckload of thoughts and prayers just arrived. Can you send water next time?
That's so mean. It's a good sentiment.
It's a good spirit, but there has to be some action behind
yeah.
it. For real.
And that's why we have the vending machine full of goats and chickens.
Yeah, because guess what? People aren't going to be able to have milk from thoughts.
Yeah. I know. It's true.
That's it. But you know what they're going to have milk from?
Goats. Chickens.
Yeah.
Well, they're hard to milk, but
yeah, no,
goats.
They're just little guys on the chickens.
Yeah.
So hard to milk.
Yeah. My chickens have started laying eggs finally.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know you had chickens, did I?
Which is weird that as a vegan that I eat chicken, but that I eat eggs, but only from my own chickens.
Yeah. Well, because you know what's in them.
Yeah.
Half the reason why you're a vegan guy.
And they're treated like kings.
Yeah. With all the good stuff. None of the bloaty, make you big, make you produce egg ton of time.
Healthy chickens.
Yeah.
Other than the one that got eaten by a dog. But the other other three are great.
You got them for pretty cheap, right?
That's a joke, right?
Yeah.
Cheap. Cheap.
I heard they only cost a buck.
Actually, they were like $2.95.
For a dozen?
For a chicken.
Oh, my bad.
For an actual chicken.
Okay. All right. Listen.
Yeah.
Just trying to make a joke.
I know.
Trying to make two cheap jokes.
It was a good one. I like the cheap one. I'm going
to
use
that. Did your chick give them to you?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh. Dad jokes.
Every now and then we like to make it.
Oh, my gosh.
Please move.
I'm out of them.
Let's do the next one.
Speaking of this, I'm trying to push us along here. So the kids in Florida, the LDS youth.
They've gone to roost.
They've... Jeez. No, not exactly. Guess how many baptisms they did.
Oh, I saw this.
24 hours.
Was it a statewide or a ward activity, or what was it?
500 youth from the Fort Lauderdale Temple District. So it's their Temple District. 24-hour consecutive temple work project, completing 2,876 proxy baptismal ordinances.
That's insane. But it's interesting, right? So you hear the big number of 2,008 or whatever, right? And you think, man, that's a lot. But then you hear that 500 youth participated. It's only like five baptisms a person.
Yeah.
Five and a half baptisms a person. That's not that much. Do you remember going as a kid? And they're like, John, who's dead?
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Next one.
Yeah. Ansel, who's dead? Itzel, who's dead? You know?
Yeah.
And it was like, boom, boom, boom.
I think they were trying to give them all a chance because they had 500 kids show up and they're like, all right, well, we'll spread it out.
And I'm not downplaying it because 2,867, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot. But it's interesting that as you break it down, like it'd be a different thing to me for sure if it's like two people had 2,867 than to 500 people.
Kids can't do that. That's too much.
No. And that's a lot of baptismal clothes. I hadn't even considered that. Because you know those kids don't have the baptismal clothes to do that. So that's probably part of it too. Because you're not putting on wet baptismal clothes. Just some things that I think about that aren't the point of the story.
No, but that's now you got me thinking about it. And this was the kickoff the local Light the World campaign.
Oh, cool.
And it was on Black Friday, so they called it White Temple Friday.
Aw.
Huh?
See? We'll take that right back. Let's see. This is sort of Mormon adjacent. I wanted to share this. This came out yesterday. A former polygamous sect leader was sentenced today to nearly 5 years in prison. Lyle Jeffs is...
Not a Mormon.
He is a FLDS. That's the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He got sentenced to the 57th month prison sentence because his behavior showed that he didn't respect the United States laws and puts his allegiance to his brother and this sex-imprisoned prophet, Warren Jeffs, above everything else. He was convicted for an elaborate food stamp fraud scheme and for escaping home confinement while awaiting trial. He's also ordered to pay $1 million in restitution. He had previously pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit benefits, fraud, and failure to appear. He's 57 years old, and he said, once the sentence was given, he says, "I do humbly accept my responsibility for my actions. I do not blame anyone."
Not even himself.
No.
It's the prophet.
That's right.
Although I feel like in that case, right, like we hear that and that's not our team. So we go, that's kind of weird, you know, that he would put the prophet above all else. But I think that, you know, there in some stories or telling of stories from the early days of the church, we sort of brandish those stories of honor, right, where everyone honored the prophet above the laws of the land, right? Mm-hmm. Honor and protect the prophet above anything else, above all else. And it's different, I think, for us, because it's, you know, to which we subscribe or ascribe, but, you know, he doesn't feel any different than we do about our stories. It's just interesting about that. I mean, now Warren Jeffs is a creepy kid toucher, so there's that. That's different. Yeah. That's 100% different. But, you know, I think it's easy for people to hear stories like that and go, oh my gosh, how could you follow and be a part of something like that, right?
People think the same thing about us.
Yeah. About us Mormons, about us regular Mormon folk.
How can you give, you know, 10%? What, are you nuts?
Yeah. Well, the allegiance to an office, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, mm-hmm. Kind of interesting as far as that goes. I got this one, too. How many more stories do you have? A couple?
Got a couple, yeah.
Josh Holt, you know who that is?
Oh, yeah. The alleged arms dealer.
Down in Venezuela. He has been ordered that he will stand trial on weapons charges. So if you don't remember this story, this is one that I'm going to try and get in as an interview in the Cultural Hall over the next couple weeks. The family of Josh Holt. He was arrested in the capital of Venezuela, Caracas, following his marriage to his Venezuelan girlfriend. Mr. Holt and his family reject the charges against him. A day before the ruling, that is the ruling that he would need to stand charges, Mr. Holt's mother released an audio bit of her son complaining of poor health and pled for his release. He says, "I'm very dizzy and I can't think and my stomach hurts." That's what he said in a 40-second voicemail message. "It hurts bad and I don't know what to do," he says. "I've never felt like this before." Mr. Holt, a former Mormon missionary from Utah, traveled to Caracas to marry his girlfriend, Tamara Candelo. She's also a Mormon, and the couple intended that Ms. Candelo and her children would move with Mr. Holt to the United States following the marriage. And while they were waiting for their visas, Mr. Holt and his wife were detained in her family's house in Caracas, accused of hiding weapons. The U.S. State Department has called on the Venezuelan authorities to release him. He's in poor health. We want him brought home. But there has been no movement. Senator Orrin Hatch, a Mormon and senator from the state of Utah, has tried to throw his weight around. Nothing. And I think even President Trump got in on the action a little bit as well. Also nothing.
This has been going on for 18 months, a year and a half ago, that he was arrested.
And they thought for sure he would be out by now, but that is not the case.
And in all honesty, not a joke, this is why I don't travel very much. I don't leave the country. I'm terrified.
Really?
Yeah.
There's places you can go.
And I'd love to go someplace. I'd maybe feel
Europe with
a
your
little
fancy
safer.
Cars
yeah.
and your windows.
I'd feel a little better there, but no, I'm terrified of not being able to get back.
Well, just don't be an idiot.
Well, I wouldn't be. I mean, was that guy okay? Did that guy have...
Okay, you wouldn't be?
Well, all right. So you know now why I don't go out of the country.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Okay. It makes sense to me why you would not travel.
Mm-hmm. With my luck, something
right.
would
that
happen
to me.
Right,
that actually is true. You're smart. Stay here. In fact, don't leave your house. Why are you here?
No, I can leave the state. Stay in the West here.
Yeah, but don't go to the East.
No.
The East will eat you
no
alive.
No way. I know. I'll be mugged.
They
I've
don't
seen
want
it.
You.
They're, the streets in New York, I've seen Neil Diamond's jazz singer. They're rough.
I've seen Gangs of New York. It's still like that, right? I've seen FIFO Goes West. I know how great it is out here. I know what they've got back there. Cats! Why that came to my mind.
Do you know, well, you do know, because you're going to be interviewing here, I hear, Michelle Mescalenos.
I don't know how to say the last name. I need to figure that out before I sit down and interview her.
Yeah, she is a 23-year-old graduate from BYU, lifelong Latter-day Saint, and she is also a professional soccer player. So gives a new meaning to the term soccer mom.
Yeah, a literal soccer mom.
Yeah, I love that song. Volvo driving soccer mom.
I don't know that I know it.
Oh, gosh, listen to it. It's
Who
great.
Who is it by?
It's by, oh my gosh.
Keep talking, I'll find it.
Okay, yeah, find it. It's a great song. But so she just finished training with the U23 U.S. national team. And yes, she's a mother of a four-month-old daughter named Scarlett. So is Mormon pro athlete mom a rare combination? Absolutely. It's one that she embraces with the same energy that defines her attack-minded play on the soccer pitch. I never imagined that being a mother and a pro athlete was a possibility, she said a few days after returning from the national team training camp in Orlando. I always figured it would be one or the other. Now I do both. And to share it with all my child is pretty amazing. So
it's Everclear.
That's right.
Hang on.
Volvo driving. Don't play it on.
What?
I wouldn't play it on the on the cultural
the
hall. I believe there's a swear in it, but yeah, yeah.
There you go.
All right.
So
yeah.
Volvo driving soccer mom.
Yeah. It's about Volvo driving soccer moms.
Okay. Pulled that up on my phone.
I know. It's like, it's magic. Phones these days. Unbelievable. I would have never thought.
By the way, just as we're talking, the FCC just voted to override net neutrality. So that's the end of the internet.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Just now?
Just now.
You saw that?
I just got that text
message.
Oh,
lovely.
Yep. You heard it here first.
Wow. I'm sure all the, online voting, sign here electronically. Those are like thoughts and prayers.
Sure.
Just so you know.
Thoughts
those did
and prayers,
nothing.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Great.
That's a way to bring things down.
Sorry.
That's a real bummer.
It's the end of the internet the way we wanted it.
Will we still have our show here?
Yeah,
can we
maybe.
Still do the cultural hall?
Unless you have to pay more for it.
Oh, boy.
So it is fascinating about that soccer mom, though, I wouldn't think that they would be able to compete, right? And it's an unfortunate thing that women have to do, right? You almost have to choose one or the other. But to have a professional athlete, because, the joke is that, babies wreck a lady's body, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not a very tasteful joke, certainly. But, that's got to be hard. You essentially are spending 9 months creating a body inside your body, and then you're going to go compete at a professional level. It is essentially my mind immediately goes to Gordon Hayward, who cracked his leg in half first game of the season, out for a whole year, and then trying to come back. That's what it would be like being a mom playing professional sports.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I've seen, because I follow women's cycling also, they actually let them race bicycles, if you can believe it,
yeah,
over in Europe.
Women?
Yeah.
Over in the Europe, not here.
And moms, and they'll be gone for a year. I've seen them have kids and come back. Women are, in all honesty, they are more resilient.
Uh-huh.
I mean, absolutely. It's scientific fact. And they also, in their careers, are able to perform longer later in their life. Like in bicycle racing, men usually retire. 35 is pretty old to race. After that, you're done. Women, 50.
Really?
Yeah, it's 10,
Same
15
with,
years longer.
I know women don't typically catch their stride for marathons, too, until they're older, right? It's not usually the younger women for marathon running.
Yeah.
Hmm. Way to go, women. So, this one's to you. what else? I've just got weird things from here on out, and I've only got a couple.
I've got another cool one about another Mormon athlete.
Tell me.
This guy, Mormon man, runs three 200-mile races.
Three 200-mile races.
Yeah,
okay.
So 200. Have you ever run, anyone that's ever run a marathon, know what you're wrecked at the end.
Yeah.
You are beat. I have a few friends that have done 100-milers.
Sure.
We have the Wasatch 100 here that are unbelievable. You've got to be in unbelievable shape to run it. He did a 200-mile race every month for 3 months.
I don't know why you would do that.
I don't know. And has spiritual experiences along the way. Well, yeah, you're going to do that.
Yeah, you start talking to the rocks at that point, right?
From Heber City, Ben Light of Heber City, who I've actually heard of, crossed the finish line of the Moab 240 on October 17th. He raised his arm in triumph, not only because he had completed the 240-mile distance, so they're 200-plus-mile races. But a total of 645.8 miles in three race series known as the Triple Crown of 200s.
I can't figure out why you would run that far.
I don't know how you could run that far.
Because you'd have to, at that point, like, eat full meals and run, right? Like, you couldn't just do it based on what you had within you. Right?
Yeah.
200 miles, that's a day.
You are
having to eat an incredible amount of food and carbs and then still be running.
And it'll take
in a race.
Most people, it's more than a day, and they eat along the way so many stops. They have some people have them every 10, some will have people that run 20, but they have a pacer with them to set the pace and also to help keep them mental, like straight, because people go nuts. They'll rip off their clothes and go running off in the woods.
Really?
When they're alone. After about 50 miles, yeah, you go nuts.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Did you try this, Kyle?
No, but it's Kyle? Got. But now I'd really like to.
In anticipation of that, that sounds awesome.
I'm going to practice.
Yeah,
because I'm going to do it.
Anyone seen Kyle? Yeah, he ran out for a 100-mile run. I'm not sure.
There he is. He's naked.
Sasquatch.
An active member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Light went into the race series with a prayer in his heart. Having lost his job the year before, Light struggled to find work with a steady income. His efforts felt inspired that he should follow his passion by beginning a career in the field of outdoor adventure.
Okay. I don't have a job.
So
here we go.
To many, this may seem like a silly thing to ask for, but he said it was important to me that he asked his Heavenly Father for help in accomplishing his goal. And because it was important to me, I knew that it would be important to my Heavenly Father. So he said, I had faith that he would help me. So on August 10th, Light began his first race, the Bigfoot 200, for 206 miles.
This sounds so miserable.
In Mount St. Helens in Washington. So it's not flat. These are through the mountains.
Yeah, no, it's insane. From beginning to end, this sounds just insane and miserable.
Yeah. Along the way, it said he had at each of these several spiritual experiences. And you will, because you... I mean, I say that jokingly because you go a little nutty, but also you have come to Jesus moments with your abilities mentally and physically.
Mm-hmm.
You have a real talk with God out there about, what am I doing? Is this stupid? So that's one of the reasons I kind of like this stuff. So anyway, then completed two more. Yeah, I'll do one again next month. If you've ever run a marathon, you're out for a couple of weeks after.
I did.
Easily.
The last marathon I did was 3 years ago. I can't talk myself into it again. I'm not kidding. I did it.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, forget it.
Yeah. So pretty amazing. Ben Light.
Let me have pretty that awesome. Top page of that. Maybe I'll try and get in touch with him
and
get him in here in the cultural hall as well. Ben of Heber City. I didn't realize he was here, Utah local. I thought he was
maybe get him in.
Crazy Mormon somewhere else. Elder Rasband, not a crazy Mormon. He, one of the apostles, went down to Brazil. You know that thing you do with your hand that makes it look like a heart?
Yeah.
Where you do like a C on the one hand and then like a backward C.
Your finger and thumbs
each
together.
Yeah, your finger and thumbs, and it makes it look like a heart.
When you're at the rave concert, you know.
So he, as best as I can describe this situation, he was speaking down in Brazil. And then did you watch The Hunger Games?
I've seen him one or two of them.
And you know the thing that they do
they steal the Boy Scout sign.
Yeah, it's essentially like the Boy Scout sign, and everyone does it in kind of solidarity. So he's speaking, and from the back of where he's speaking, someone puts their hands up in the heart, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so then Elder Rasband does the heart back to them while he's still speaking, and then everyone spontaneously in this meeting starts doing the heart and like puts it up to Elder Rasband. Says thousands of young people gathered in 92 locales to watch Elder Rasband's November 15th remarks, lifted their hands, and in unison formed the heart symbol. Such a cool story. He was down there visiting with mission presence, going to member and missionary meetings. He was visiting with single adults. So just doing essentially what the apostle should do. But in this one talk, he sees this kid in the back who's showing that he loves him, puts it up, and now it's like the thing for the apostles. Specifically, sure, for Rasband, but for all the apostles, for the church, and for Brazil saints to do the heart.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And for Tiesto as well.
Tiesto?
He's a DJ.
I don't know who that is.
I can't
you
believe
mean Cascade?
That you... Or Cascade. Yes.
The Mormon Cascade from Brazil. Tiesto. You know who else is from Brazil? Now I'm going to forget his name. Oh, how come I can't? I played tennis with him. Why can't I think of his name off the top of my head? Hold on. Sean Paul.
Oh, Sean Paul.
I've told you about how I
remember. Yeah, I remember hearing that story.
Do people know who that is, Sean Paul?
No. Some might.
Hold on. Talk for a second. Yeah. I'm going to look up Sean Paul.
Look up, see if there's a song by him on YouTube.
That I can share?
Yeah. And how did you meet Sean Paul?
I was at the radio station and people were like, hey, we need someone to...
They need someone to play tennis with him because he wanted to play tennis.
Yeah.
No, nobody here can play tennis. Nor can Richie.
Yeah, well,
but he knew.
You know, I did okay.
He knew the basics of it, so.
So they got me to go play tennis with him, and it was when he was in sort of a lull in his career, right? Not a lot going on for him. Google that. Not a lot going on for him.
Just give me the deeds and we be clubbing.
Oh, boy. Oh, awful.
It's terrible. He's actually Jamaican. I just wanted to play this.
So not Brazilian.
Yeah, not at all. You said Tiesto, and then I thought Sean Paul, and then I wanted to just share that I played tennis with Sean Paul. Where did that come from?
I don't. From Brazil.
Oh, Elder Asman. He went to Brazil.
Hearts
perfect.
In Brazil.
So that's the that's the theme and motto of this show today. Yeah. All right. So do you want this? Do you have any more stories?
Nope.
Okay. This
really will
wrap us out. One of two. You pick, and then we'll do the other one as the last story. We can talk about kids and sex, or we can talk about a secret Mormon book.
Oh, boy, that's hard. Are we doing both of
We're
those?
We're going to do both of them. Which one do you want first?
Kids and sex.
Kids and sex. All right, so you've seen this. If you follow the Cultural Hall on Facebook, if you follow us on Twitter, we've shared this. If you listen to the Mormon News Report, which is another thing that comes out on our feed, you can check them out. They do pretty good about doing an episode every Monday. They've talked about it, but... There is a petition now going around, a gentleman by the name of, I think, Sam Young, also someone who I'm trying to get in the Cultural Hall, who really wants to change the procedure of youth of the church about sex one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
You had those interviews growing up, right?
Yep.
You have a problem with masturbation? Oh, my gosh, this is uncomfortable now.
Yeah. But I had a story about it, but I thought for sure you would hit on it because it's pretty big right now.
Right, and there's stories, you know, we shared a story on our Facebook page the other day about a bishop who had behaved poorly, made bad choices, and got himself into it. And there's another one I saw last night, a lawsuit against the church that we'll be sharing in next week's articles of news as we get more details about it. But, you know, people aren't perfect, right? And so sometimes things happen, and that sucks. And especially sucks when it's someone that you look to as, you know, a leader, a bishop, a counselor, whatever.
Yeah.
They call it, I think, affinity crimes, right? When you look to someone as an example. And so this idea is to eliminate, not entirely, obviously, but to eliminate some of those...
the direct questions about sex.
Interviews about, those questions about sex. And I guess it's sort of two parts, right? Like some people just want the questions to go away, and other people want the scenario where it could be a bishop and a young woman or a bishop and a young man alone. They want that scenario to go away.
Well, I remember just in teaching primary or when I was a primary teacher, I remember when you could just have a male instructor.
Right. And
I was doing that at the point where they swapped that. And said, "No, you need someone in there. There's got to be two of you if you're a male."
And if there's not two, you combine classes with someone else, or you don't do it. It's not just I've only got one, and that's what we're going to do. No, you are done.
Mm-hmm.
So the online petition, which has now gathered more than 8,000 signatures, urges the Mormon Church to publicly disavow the practice and make sure that parents are always present when children below the age of 17 are having personal interviews with church leaders. And so here's the deal. I don't know that I love the idea of it being parents being present.
Yeah, no.
Right? Because I don't know that I would have talked about some of those things if my parents had been there.
Yeah.
I think I would have been, there's maybe some safety or comfort in the anonymity of like a primary president or a young men or young women's president. present to have been there in the room with me. I think that if it were my parents, I think it creates an interesting dynamic. So it's interesting that that's what they want. But they also, as part of this, it says, we call on the LDS Church to immediately cease the practice of subjecting children to questions about things like masturbation, orgasm, ejaculation, sexual positions, or anything else of a sexual nature. He said that he heard this year that it was a common practice for church leaders to ask very personal questions about things like masturbation and pornography. He asked his 26-year-old daughter if it had happened to her, and he was shocked to hear that, in fact, it had, and that she had been asked intrusive questions about it over the years. Young says what concerns him is that these interviews could have a negative effect on teens' attitudes about sex. He argues that they normalize the idea of adult men asking children sexual questions and could potentially lead kids to feel shame and guilt about sex. So then it goes into talking about, do they have the right to even ask you those things? Or does the question end at, are you living the law of chastity? Eric Hawkins, the spokesperson for the LDS Church, said, in these interviews, church leaders are instructed to be sensitive to the character, circumstances, and understanding of the young man or young woman. They are counseled to not be unnecessarily probing or invasive in their questions, but should allow a young person to share their experiences, struggles, and feelings. There are times when a discussion of moral cleanliness is appropriate, particularly if a young man or woman feels the need to repent. In these instances, leaders are counseled to adapt the discussion to the understanding of the individual and to exercise care not to encourage curiosity or experimentation. So then it goes on to say that these interviews are normally conducted by a bishop. It puts in those in particular women in uncomfortable situations where they're vulnerable and it's an authoritative man. They feel like they have to answer the questions, all that stuff. They're aiming for 10,000 signatures on the petition and then plan to organize a rally here in Salt Lake. Young pointed out that the church didn't appear to apologize for any damage that the personal interviews may have caused, so he offered an apology himself. He says, quote, to all those who experienced self-loathing during your teenage years, to all who carried that self-loathing into your adult years, to all those whose sex lives were inextricably associated with shame, to all those who have ideated suicide, to all who have attempted suicide, and to all who are groomed for sexual abuse, I, and then he says, along with 7,500 others, which is now 8,000 others, we are sorry. What was done to you is wrong. We are standing to protect our future generations from what you have endured. So, it has not gone away yet. You will continue to see that for a while.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what actually becomes.
What's your feeling?
Of that.
You're all right with the bishop talking to your kid about sex if he's fooling around?
I don't think it's a pertinent question, really.
Okay, but he says the law of chastity, and your kid says, "Meh, I'm not." Can he ask more questions, or do you think the conversation ends there?
Nope, that's it there.
Okay, so listen, I'm not living the law of chastity. All right, you're not going to be worthy for a temple recommend, that's it.
Yeah, it's a yes or no question.
Okay.
Kind of a pass or fail test, I guess.
See, and I'm of the mind that if I had a daughter, I wouldn't let her in with the bishop. And it's not that I don't trust, like the bishop I have now. I love him. But even though I love him, I would still insist that someone be in the room. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's,
question.
That's what I think, is that they need someone else in the room.
And it's not because I don't trust him. And people are like, yeah, no, that's the very definition of you not trusting him. It's like, nope. If I had a daughter or a son, but probably more towards a daughter, sorry, that makes me something that you want to hate me for. But I would absolutely insist that someone else be in the room.
So who else in the room? Because not a parent.
No.
Because like you said, that's
no,
not going to work.
And
so
I don't want to be. And I don't want to be. I think that those worlds are separate.
So who should be
in
the room?
Your primary president, if they're young, though I don't think that conversation should be happening at all.
I just had something really funny to say there, and I held back. I really held back.
Even a counselor.
First counselor.
A counselor in the bishopric.
Yeah.
Young men or young women's president. Like, I feel like either of those organizations. Unfortunately, that puts a burden on those folks, but I think it's a burden that pays off in us not allowing those kids.
Yeah.
Those opportunities to have something terrible happen to them. All right, are you ready for this? A secret Mormon book.
Okay.
Now, let me just say that I may have headlined it particularly inappropriate, so you would stick around and listen to this.
Oh.
But it at least is a kind of thing. An obscure Mormon religious text has emerged as one of the central tenets influencing the anti-government ideology of Cliven Bundy. Everybody knows who Cliven Bundy is. If you don't, he's a rancher, Nevada, has a bunch of lands that he says, I should be able to, you know, have my cattle feed on these lands because, this is dumbed down, by the way, because my family's been here for a long time. The BLM says, you need to pay for it. He says, no, I don't. We've been here for a long time. Quit trying to take my lands and take my money, right? There was a big armed standoff back in 2014 outside the ranch where they brought in a bunch of military folk. Nothing ended up happening from it, but it was definitely...
Someone died.
No, I don't think so. Who?
Someone was shot and killed in that?
No, that was after the fact.
Okay. That guy was part of this, though.
Yeah, but he was part of that, yes. But that was later after the fact, and it was because he had, like, come out of the car or something. Kind of erratic behavior. It wasn't just part of the standoff. The Bundy family, which includes Cliven and his 14 children.
Wow. I didn't know that.
They're deeply influenced by their Mormon faith, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and the Book of Mormon. And I'm told that many of the Bundy family still active and temple recommend holding members of the church. But researchers at the Southern Poverty Law Center have noted that the family and its supporters also follow a text that they call the Nay Book, N-A-Y. It's it was allegedly compiled by Bundy's friend and fellow rancher Keith Allen Nay, who died in 1997. The scrapbook is a mix of letters, founding documents of both the United States and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, mixed with ideas that have existed in the anti-government patriot movement for years. Seen only by a few outside a tight circle of family supporters, the book lays out a religious justification for resisting the federal management of public lands. It's nearly 200 pages long, and it begins with a letter written by Bundy arguing that it is his right to defend his land against the government's tyrannical control. You can find, by the way, this whole story and all the other stories at theculturalhall.com. When he went to court a few years ago, someone hung a title of liberty, you know, from Captain Moroni, in honor of in memory of our God, our religion and freedom, our peace, our wives and our children. They were outside the courthouse on flags where Bundy and his followers were facing the trial. Let's see here. The Nay book demonstrates that the Bundy's family conflict with the government is about more than just control over land. It's about religion. There are subtle and sometimes not so subtle undertones to many of the stories in the Book of Mormon that imply that rulers become oppressive and that God helps the righteous overthrow those rulers, said Ryan McKnight of Mormon Leaks. Which, by the way, if Mormon Leaks is a thing that interests you, on the December 5th episode of the Mormon News Report, they actually talked to him. I'm not a fan of most of what Mormon Leaks does, but they are definitely educated individuals, those who run Mormon Leaks. He goes on to say, these themes are rarely the main thrust of the religious teachings of the book, but they are parts of the events that the Mormons believe occurred on the North American continent between 600 BC and 400 AD, that being the oppressive overtones of government, and that sometimes the religious people can overthrow those tyrannical people. So it's fascinating. Pick it up at the BYU bookstore, the Nay book. No. I would love to talk to one of the Bundy family about that and see exactly what that is. I think we did a pretty good service of this whole thing. What do you think?
Sure.
Yeah? You good?
Betcha.
You ready?
Absolutely.
Don't you have to go run an errand for your ex-wife?
I do, yeah. You don't even know.
Really?
Should I even get into
it? No.
Nope.
Probably not.
Okay.
We hope this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
We hope if you are sick or afflicted, you'll be well and can listen next week.
We hope that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you
on the back row
of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row. We really